fire on the earth. Our Holy Father has said the church is missionary by her very nature. The church exists to evangelize. He's called for a new springtime of evangelization. To help us obtain the tools each of us needs to answer the church's call, this is Fire on the Earth. Here is our host, Peter Herbeck.
Good morning, friends. Welcome to Fire on the Earth. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. And I want to talk today about the first reading at Mass today from 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 7. It's a beautiful section of Peter's letter. The whole letter of 2 Peter is spectacular, in my opinion. Just, you get a clear view of Peter's vision, how the Holy Spirit has touched his mind, the mind of an apostle, and what a transformed mind looks like. And as I've mentioned many times on the program, this letter, as with all the letters in the New Testament, begin where we should all begin. When we think about our own life in Christ, and we think about being Christians and Catholics and living, the most important thing that ought to be in our minds each day as we write is not so much what we need to do for God, that's important, but to remember, first of all, what God has done for us. Because when we remember what God has done for us, we actually remember who we are, what we've been given by Him, by Christ, and how His passion, His life, passion, death, and resurrection, the difference that makes in each one of our lives right now. Jesus' death and resurrection, His ascension to glory at the right hand of the Father, and the gift of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit produces change. Christianity means change. It means change because we've been given the power to change. And that power comes from Jesus at the right hand of the Father, the indestructible power, the great King. All power and authority belongs to Him, He told the apostles. And that literally means all power and authority over all of creation belongs to Jesus Christ. And the exciting thing, it's easy for us not to see this or get it sometimes and let it go deep into our hearts, that who is it that holds the universe in the palm of His hand and all power and glory belongs to Him? Who is it? It's Mary's Son, Jesus of Nazareth, born of a virgin. It's Him in glory. He took humanity. He took our flesh, you could say, with Him to the right hand of the Father. And now He reigns over all things. And from that position of absolute authority, participating in the full glory of God the Father, Jesus pours out His Holy Spirit and begins the work of the new creation, begins the work of establishing His kingdom in the hearts of men and women. That's what the church is, the first to receive this grace and to extend it in the world. And so Peter begins with just a beautiful declaration of the reality of what Jesus has accomplished in us. Before he gets into the letter, begins to deal with the difficulties that he's facing, the false prophets that are trying to lead people away, those who are denying the return of the Lord. And Peter, being a good shepherd, has to address the challenges and the attacks of the enemy that are coming against these small communities. But let's begin with verse 2, chapter 1, verse 2 and following. It says, "May grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord." Where does grace and peace come from? What does grace mean? The full gift of God, God's gift to us, the grace of salvation, of God's mercy given to us in Jesus Christ, and salvation meaning the gift of the forgiveness of our sins, putting us in right relationship with God, making it possible for us to be able to be united to the Father, to become children of God. All that grace produces peace. When we know who God the Father is, revealed to us in Jesus on the cross, that God is love. God is love. And He wants to show mercy to us and to free us, to forgive us, heal us, and bring us into relationship with Him. Jesus shows us that we can trust the Father. This turns the enemy's lie from all the way back from the garden on its head. When he seduced Adam and Eve to believe that in some way God is not trustworthy, that God's not for us, that at the end of the day, His plan for us is not good, that He's going to hold back things from us. So somehow we can't trust Him, and so we can't trust His commandments to us, and we have to dance around those. We have to find a way to get what our passions are telling us we need, and that the enemy is inflaming in us. And at the root of all that, we doubt God, that we're precious in His eyes, that He made us, that we belong to Him, that we're His idea, that we should look at the birds of the air. Jesus said, look at the birds of the air. They don't toil. They don't, gather in the barns, Your Heavenly Father feeds them every day. You're worth more than a whole flock of these birds, a whole flock of sparrows. You're so valuable to God the Father that he sent his only son to die for you. That gift, that truth, that love, when it radiates in our heart and we know the Father and we can trust him, we know him as our Father. And Peter says here, and this grace and peace comes through the knowledge that Jesus is our Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord is the great cry and claim of the early Christian community. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us, Christ, the anointed one, the one filled with the Holy Spirit, who poured out that Spirit on us, and Jesus the Lord. All authority belongs to him, and he's the one who will come to judge the living and the dead. And Peter will defend that teaching in this letter. When we understand these things, not just as words on a page or some theological teaching, when we understand it as truth revealed to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, through the preaching and teaching of the church, through God's word, we experience it through the life of the sacraments. When that knowledge lays hold of our mind and heart, we begin to be able to walk in peace. That's where it is. When we understand who God is, that means questions and the issues that often disturb us. What's the purpose of my life? Does my life have any value? Does anybody love me? Am I worth it? Am I loved by anybody? Where's my life headed? When we know God through his son Jesus, and the revelation of Jesus penetrates our heart and mind, that's where transformation comes. That's where change comes. And it's the Holy Spirit who Jesus said he would send to teach us everything the Father has shown him, and that he would be with us always, always leading, always teaching, always forming. So as we yield to that work of Jesus in us, that power of the Holy Spirit given to us, if we walk each day in the Spirit, begin the day welcoming the Holy Spirit, come Holy Spirit, thank you, Holy Spirit, for the revelation of Jesus. Thank you for opening my heart to his majesty and his glory. Thank you for opening my heart to know the Father. And pray each day that the Holy Spirit would take you deeper and deeper into those fundamental realities. That's the source of grace and peace that Peter is talking about here. He builds on that. Verse 3 says, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. His divine power, his divine excellence is the term that's used in some translations. The divine power of the Lord has granted us all these things that pertain to life and godliness. Number one, that pertain to life. By God's power, we are brought from death to life. Christianity, that's what it is. We, in the old memorial acclamation, we used to say, dying, he destroyed our death. Rising, he restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory. What is Christianity? Jesus Christ destroyed death. He restored life. He's coming again in glory. What's the life that he's restored? He's made it possible for human beings who are on a death-directed course, dead in their sins. And as St. Paul said, without hope in the world of ever being freed from that, indeed have been freed from that by the work of Jesus Christ, by his death on the cross, and he now shares with us his power. The power that raised him from the dead, the power that allowed him to ascend to heaven, the power that was in him. And now he sits at the right hand of the Father. And it's from that place that Jesus pours out life. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I came that you might have life. He doesn't mean to say, I came that you might have a great time here on earth, that you might just have at it. No, I came that you might have the life that's in me. Jesus came not just to improve our existence here on earth, though living a life of virtue, as we'll see from St. Peter, and walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, that will produce virtue and that will produce human happiness. But Jesus has the end game in mind, and that's bringing you and me home to the Father, to his right hand, to the kingdom of God, to absolute freedom, sharing in the glory and majesty of God. That's what Jesus is after, giving us divine life, and that's what we need. So his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, or devotion, relationship with God. Jesus' divine power God the Father, acting through him in the Holy Spirit, has made it possible for us to have union with God. Those who were far off, Scripture says, have now been brought near in Christ. We've been brought into the presence of the Father. We've come to see by the mercy and power that's at work in Jesus that we're made for relationship. That each one of us was created by God. We were created by God for God to share in what belongs to him, the life between the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Absolute self-donating love. Joy beyond all compare. God the Father wants to have a relationship with you. The enemy wants to stand in our ear and say, yeah, but not you. You can't have a relationship with God. Look at your life. Look at how messed up you are. Look how hypocritical you are. Look how weak you are. How many times you've failed. Don't you know how disappointed he is in you? And how can anybody love you? Look, in some cases, because of how the difficult home life some of us have grown up in, it's hard for us to even believe that we're lovable, that our lives are valuable. And the enemy wants to take that broken situation and the brokenness of our own lives and the kind of painful, destructive self-image that just clings to us. He wants to use that and say, see who you are? There's no way God is happy with who you are. You haven't done enough. You haven't performed well enough. There's no hope for you. Ultimately is where he wants each one of us to get to. There's no hope for you. He wants to lead us to hopelessness and despair. And guess what? These great promises of God that Peter's declaring here, we'll continue to talk about tomorrow as well. These promises are for you. It does not matter what you've done. It does not matter the life you've come from. It does not matter how someone else treated you throughout your life. Your history does not determine your destiny. Jesus Christ holds your destiny in the palm of his hand. He stands at the door for you today. He stands at your door knocking. He comes to take away your shame, your pain, your self-hatred, your hopelessness. And he wants you, through the help of the Holy Spirit, to see him. He who has divine power, he wants to come and give you life and godliness. He wants to come and give you everything that the Father has made you for. Jesus will not let the enemy steal your destiny. But he needs you to say yes. He needs you to come out of the shadows. He needs you to turn to him and to open your heart and receive. It's for you. It's not just for other people and you're the one left out. It's for you. And Jesus Christ has come to earth and he's pursuing you. He died on a cross for you. He shed his blood to cleanse you. He rose from the dead so that you could rise from the dead. He rose to the right hand of the Father so he could raise you to the glory of the Father someday to save you. That's really true. Nothing can stand in the way. Open your heart to him. Say yes to him. Invite him in and allow him to heal you, to heal your mind and your heart so that you know that you know that you know that the promises of God are for you. Have a wonderful day.
This has been Fire on the Earth. It's heard here Monday through Friday at this time. Our host has been Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Missions at Renewal Ministries. You can contact Peter or listen again to this program on the web at renewalministries.net. Fire on the Earth is brought to you by Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, in this year of mercy, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, St. Francis Used Words. St. Francis is really a model of mercy, and he communicated that mercy through both deeds and through words. And Pope Francis reminds us that each one of us is called to do the same. If you'd like a copy of this free booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789.